While Washington continues to bicker over how the American healthcare system should operate, some tech companies are filling the gaps with what will work. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a healthcare analyst and investor about how tech can pull the healthcare car out of the ditch. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, healthcare in this country has been and continues to be relatively a hot mess of waste, inefficiency, and frustration, and that's just the political grandstanding and bloviating that happens. Our medical records do not follow us, and that is a crippling, redundant inefficiency that big data and tech companies can help with. Data at scale, after all, is what they do. This week, we talk with a health industry analyst and investor about his new book, The Big Unlock: Harnessing Data and Growing Digital Health Businesses in a Value-Based Care Era. Now, in this segment, we will get some working definitions of present-day healthcare and where it is and should be heading.
They're going to place all of the data in the hands of the patient. So you have a smartphone with an Apple app on it, which allows you to aggregate and integrate the data from not just your electronic health record, which is run by your physician or your hospital, but you could also pull in genomics data from your 23andMe, for instance. You could pull in data from Medtronic, which has the device that tracks your blood glucose levels.
Recently, Apple has been making good on CEO Tim Cook's claim that the company wants to be a part of our healthcare routine, from electronic health records to establishing medical clinics and offering Apple employees healthcare and test products. Here we go.
Patty Padmanabhan, and I am the CEO of Demo Consulting.
And you're the author of The Big Unlock: Harnessing Data and Growing Digital Health Businesses in a Value-Based Care Era. Let's start with a macro question, and then we'll kind of like land the plane. The healthcare industry is pretty much a hot mess. Everybody is getting into it a little bit. It's unlocking all of the data possibilities. Is that pretty much the concern of your book and your approach?
Well, I approach data and the unlocking of insights from data as a gigantic opportunity for transforming healthcare. And so it's an opportunity not just for us as a society, but it's an opportunity for healthcare technology executives and for technology providers who are building these solutions and capabilities to help healthcare enterprises unlock data in their transition towards a value-based care era. And as you know, the industry is shifting from what used to be known as a fee-for-service model to what is known now as a value-based care era.
Could you give us a working definition of value-based care?
The traditional model for healthcare delivery and for compensation for healthcare services has been what is known as a fee-for-service model. So you go to a doctor, you do a routine visit, or you do an X-ray or an MRI or whatever. For every one of those services, the physician or the hospital would get compensated that they've negotiated with the insurance payer. In very broad terms, it's payment for volume. So there was an incentive for the entire healthcare system to increase the volumes and get paid for every service. So there used to be a lot of duplication of services. So you'd do the same blood test every time you visited a new physician or a specialist, or you do a new X-ray, and that's just waste. Now we are moving towards an era where hospitals, health systems are taking accountability for some degree of outcomes, but are also being compensated by way of incentives for showing improved healthcare outcomes, improved patient engagement, and reduction in cost. So that's extra money to their bottom line, and so they're motivated to improve their performance and motivated to control their costs. And now we're moving towards an era of healthcare consumerism as well, because the healthcare consumer is bearing a little more of the cost than he or she used to. So hospitals now have a market to consumers and improve the experience.
And there's an impressive, just one sentence in your book to get to set the table in chapter one. It's a typical 500-bed hospital today generates 50 petabytes of data. So the data we're talking about is just mountains and mountains of it. What kind of advances are you seeing?
Good question. The typical hospital is generating this 40 petabytes of data every year. That's one just one piece of statistic.
Wow.
Fact of the matter is that gigantic amounts of data are emerging from all kinds of sources. So you have this Internet of Things movement where these smart devices are throwing off data on a constant basis. That's just creating a mountain of data that can be combined with electronic health records and patient medical records in a hospital to make more sense of their medical conditions. Now add to that genomics data. Now you can go out and get a $1,000 genomic sequencing done by, you know, some company out there, and you can then provide that provide the results and the data to your physician, who can then combine it with your patient, with your medical history, and make more sense out of it. There are other data sources that are going to emerge, you know, your socioeconomic data. One of the big determinants of health, it's been discovered and established, is social determinants, you know, what your income level is, mm-hmm. where you live, what kind of access you have to transportation. In fact, they say now that your zip code could be the strongest predictor of your health over the long term than anything else, because a zip code is a proxy for so many things.
Yeah, I get a little arched eyebrow when I think about zip codes and algorithms, because there is some inherent bias built into that. But I do see your point. I'd like to pull back just a little bit. Like I said, this is a B2B kind of book, but you cover everything so that patients, any patient, could really kind of understand what you're trying to drive at. And you said recently that Apple's announcement on integrating personal medical records into their health app is a fundamental shift in healthcare IT. What did you mean by that?
Right. So today, most of the electronic health records are sitting inside big electronic health record systems that are run by companies like Epic and Cerner and Allscripts. And these systems are proprietary systems, so there is a certain amount of, you know, the access to it is not as open as many would want it to be. And these systems don't talk to one another. You will often hear the word interoperability, whether these systems talk to one another in very simple terms. And since these systems don't talk to one another, you as a patient are at a disadvantage, because for you to get access to all of those records in one place and available to your physician in order to make the best possible diagnosis and treatment decision that he or she could make becomes challenging. This whole Apple announcement kind of shifts the needle a little bit by placing the data in the hands. This is conceptually what they're doing. They're going to place all of the data in the hands of the patient. So you have a smartphone with an Apple app on it, which allows you to aggregate and integrate the data from not just your electronic health record, which is run by your physician or your hospital, but you could also pull in genomics data, right, from your 23andMe, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You could pull in data from Medtronic, which has the device that tracks your blood glucose levels. I'm just giving examples here, and you can then think now of how many different sources you can pull the data from. So far, the architecture has not existed, and it's all in flight. It's all work in process as an industry. But Apple could potentially be the first one to make a meaningful impact by handing control to a significant degree to patients, consumers, in other words, for their own data, which I think is very, very important, because now you have access to your own data. You can then choose who you want to share it with. And that is a significant shift in terms of what you just said. Yes, it is becoming a little bit more B2C. Healthcare is actually a B2B2C, is what I call it.
Uh-huh.
You know, healthcare is paid for by somebody, is being provided by somebody, but is being consumed by a third individual, right? It's paid for by insurance, is provided by hospital, but is being consumed by a consumer.
Right.
So it's a B2B2C model, really.
And
now you'll see more of a B2C shift, which didn't exist earlier, but the B2C shift is happening because consumers now are having to make conscious choices about how they spend their healthcare dollars, because they now have increased responsibilities for their healthcare. They have bigger co-pays, deductibles, and so on. But on the other hand, they also want more control, especially if you look at the millennial generation. They're on the smartphones all the time. They want their healthcare delivered to them at a time of their choosing. They want it as virtually as possible.
I'm not asking you to endorse any one particular company, but my personal experience is with One Medical. And with Apple giving me control of my EHR and me having a One Medical account, if you're familiar with it, is that the shift you're talking about of taking ownership?
This is about giving you access to all the data that is available about you, aggregating it and giving it to you in a way, shape, and form that you can then choose to share with a qualified medical professional, mm-hmm. namely your doctor.
Right. Okay.
And the doctor then decides what your diagnosis is and what kind of treatment you need to go through. Having done that, then all the ongoing updates, you know, whether you're, let's say you're a diabetic and you're on some kind of a chronic care program, you want to see what's happening with your medical condition. You want to see it as real time as possible. It's just one example. And then you can choose to share with your family members, right?
You get into chapter 3, and I want to dive into this because you very simply put, the solution may be blockchain.
Well, I don't want to say the solution may be blockchain in isolation. It's obviously in the context of certain things that you can do with the technology. The blockchain is infrastructure technology, but it's very transformative because it can really create, first of all, an immutable record of, you know, any kind of transaction. And in this case, let's say we are talking about your own health records. You can create an immutable record of your own health history and then choose to share it with whoever you want to share it because you have access to it and you have control. It addresses multiple problems. Number one, it addresses the challenges of data that is not necessarily clean or complete. And then secondly, it addresses the challenge of control and access to the data. So in that sense, from a consumer access and consumer control point of view, blockchain could be very, very transformative. It reduces friction, therefore it reduces a lot of intermediation costs and eliminates waste, improves efficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still in early stages, so we have to be a little cautious about having too many expectations around blockchain in the very near future, but it's definitely getting a lot of attention.
Well, frankly, given the state of healthcare as it is, I mean, I'll take any little bit of optimism I can get. And maybe that light at the end of the tunnel is blockchain technology and not a train. We're speaking with Paddy Padmanabhan. He is the author of The Big Unlock, Harnessing Data and Growing Digital Health Businesses in a Value-Based Care Era. Honestly, it just seems like this, what you're trying to address in this book nobly, is such a shifting sand industry. Where are you having to keep most of your attention these days?
I spend a lot of time with technology companies that have a strategic focus on healthcare and with healthcare enterprises that are strategically trying to leverage data for making their digital transformation into this value-based care era. Because both need one another. Healthcare enterprises don't have the ability to do it all themselves. And they're constrained by budgets. They're constrained by their own internal capabilities and capacity. On the other hand, technology firms are coming up with a number of innovative solutions, especially the startup ecosystem in which VC spent over $10 billion last year by one estimate. More than $10 billion was invested in digital health startups. These are all companies that are coming up with innovative new solutions, and they're all leveraging data. They're all finding ways to take the data that is available, combine it in innovative ways, use emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence and cognitive computing, and presenting it to health systems in order to help them manage their population. So today, population health management is the buzzword. It's no longer about individual patients one at a time, all the time. So you start at a population level, you stratify it down to the ones that need the most attention, and then you use advanced analytics tools to really get quickly to their medical state or condition and make decisions quickly.
I'm glad you're helping to make sense of it because it's a big, hairy mess on a lot of sides. Obviously, you're right that the efficiencies are there. They just have to be, like you say, unlocked. Paddy, in that last answer, you mentioned artificial intelligence. It's something that we cover as much as we can on the show because it's touching every aspect of the economy. It has to touch healthcare at some point. To what extent are you seeing artificial intelligence playing out?
Artificial intelligence, again, is an advanced analytics technology, and it is going to have a significant impact on how healthcare is delivered in future. today a lot of health systems are using AI technologies in some way, shape, or form. I will caveat that by saying first that depending on who you ask, the definition of artificial intelligence varies quite widely. Based on that, you could have different use cases and different applications for what people refer to as artificial intelligence. At one end, you know, you can have robotic process automation, which could be used in IT operations. Right? It's totally behind the scenes. It is being used today in a lot of claim processing operations, for instance, in large health insurance companies. At the other end, you have the big cognitive computing platforms like Watson Health that are sophisticated and are capable of processing vast amounts of information and making sense of them in order to augment the work of very busy clinicians, right? And people are, you know, doctors are already suffering from an overload of work, partly brought on by the new electronic health record systems and other kinds of documentation that they have to do. So they can use all the help they can get. So AI is one of the solutions out there to help make sense of this vast and exploding volumes of data and information. And we're not just talking about structured data, which you find in a database, but you're talking about a lot of unstructured data now. Mm-hmm. That's where the gold mine is, because 80% of healthcare data is, by many estimates, considered to be unstructured. So we are talking about text, this free text like that a doctor would type in when meeting, when having a patient encounter. It's a lot of published literature. So you have all these tons and tons of medical journals and papers that are out there. It's impossible humanly for anybody to keep track of all of them. AI technologies can make sense of all of this, distill them down, and present you with a narrow set of options for you to pursue. So you're not having to wade through gazillion bytes of data. You just focus on the ones that the technology tells you to focus on, and then you make your own decision. So it's going to make physicians far more effective and productive in their work. It's going to totally transform the way, diagnosis takes place, maybe. It's going to transform the way a lot of healthcare operations take place. We're not just talking about clinical operations. We're not just talking about diagnosis and treatment. We're talking about all the other aspects of running a health system.
Administration and costs like that, right?
Yeah.
Efficient, effective, productive. Well, that's a rosy future. I hope we can get there.
I think we will. You know, I am optimistic by nature, so I'm a half-full kind of guy. So I am optimistic.
All right. Well, thank you again, Patty, for joining me today.
Thank you, Jason.
That was Patty Padmanabhan, author of The Big Unlock, Harnessing Data and Growing Digital Health Businesses in a Value-Based Care Era. When it comes to Apple's role in our healthcare system, Patty added this. Apple's announcement on integrating personal medical records into their health app marks a fundamental shift in the healthcare IT markets. Apple is not just in the EHR business, electronic health records, but now they are in the digital health business, end quote. Market opportunities indeed. For a link to his book or to Apple's plans in healthcare, our podcast library, and all of our sourcing, just check out the story that goes with this week's show. It lives at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, we turn to China and how the millennial demographic there may dictate the tech and economic memes of the 21st century.
It's an interesting moment, particularly as the United States is sort of shrinking away from the Asian region. And where every 4 years it looks like our politics might change, you know, particularly with the tearing up of the TPP. A lot of people, a lot of countries in Asia feel like they can't rely on the United States for the long term quite in the same way that they maybe used to.
That's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.